Okay, here we go. So it's next time. It's next time on Mostly Hairless Apes. This is Dr. Gene Mesko talking to you from the Church of Science. And last time we were recreating. This is moving along here with recreation or recreating. And I'm trying to recreate the world with a different perspective. I want us to be civilized in a different way. So last time we were talking about the fact that we've got this evolutionary history as evolving social primates, mostly hairless apes. And what have we hit upon here in the 21st century? We've got all this amazing technology, all this industrial capacity, and 8 billion people living in a variety of different civilizations. But I think we should have one global civilization. I think that would be an amazing thing if we could actually all get along. Where's Rodney when you need him? But we should all be able to get along with each other because we're all the same species. I've said our civilization is an animal society that thinks. Consciousness was the big human adaptation that got us where we are. That's what allowed us to conquer the planet. We're the alpha predators for a reason. Because we can think and plan and make up rules that allow us to run our societies, our civilizations. And when we build these civilizations, we work from our own groups. Our civilizations have evolved over thousands of years through monarchies and theocracies and democracies and all these different forms. But civilizations have three things in common. And what do? Well, they all have to have a belief. The essence of a civilization, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is that you have to share a belief system. And why do you have to share a belief system? Because belief is part of the information that we all have to operate. If we're thinking, we're using information. That's the essence of artificial selection. Just like natural selection uses biological information, biochemical information, and DNA is how organisms evolve naturally. And that's what worked for billions of years of life on Earth. But then humans came up with mental information. We evolved consciousness about 50,000 years ago is the minimum estimate. And we've used consciousness to shape our civilizations. And what have we done? We figured things out. We came up with technology. We invented agriculture and brewing and architecture and sewing and manufacturing and all sorts of fun things. And we've been doing that for 10,000 years. We've had organized civilization. We've had domestic civilization where we've stayed in one domicile. We settled down. That's what agriculture did for us. And when we had civilization, we shifted away from pantheons eventually, and we became more militaristic. Unfortunately, that's where we are. That leads us down the path to patriarchy and all that fun stuff. Because bottom line, just like a lot of other primates, if we're threatened, the men step up, the big animals step up and take the hit. And we could go back to sexual biology and talk about this. If you understand reproduction, you understand that the male contribution is not nearly as significant to the female contribution for biological reproduction for mammals in most cases. Now, there are a few exceptions where males do a fair amount of the parental contribution, the parental care. And we're working on that. We understand that it takes a lot to raise a human nowadays. And we're working on different civilizations. Some have parental leave. Some of the more, what I think are the more civilized civilizations, the more efficient civilizations, they're saying we want to produce functional adults. Well, it takes 20 years to develop a functional adult. We ought to help the parents do that because they should have a special status to take care of their children if they're willing to do the primary care. Although in reality, it takes all of us. It takes a village. You might hate that phrase, but it makes sense. Because it takes more than two people or three people or five people. It takes all of us. Everybody should be able to look at a kid. And this is why small town America yells at the urban life. The people who've had the opportunity to grow up in a smaller community understand that everybody looks out for each other and that the rules are enforced not just by your parents, but by everybody. And because the rules get enforced, the rules have more weight. The rules have more power in those civilizations because they are able to be exercised and practiced by everybody. And because everybody can use those rules or adheres to those rules, they get more efficiently applied. And if they're good rules, they help the civilization persist. They help it last, which is the essence of evolutionary selection. If you can stabilize your system, whatever living system you're working with, and you can make it last longer, guess what? It lasts longer. And so what are the rules that we've come up with? Well, some of the rules we hit on thousands of years ago were really great rules for all the individual groups. We came up with rules like, don't kill anybody in our group. Don't steal anything from anybody in our group. Don't covet anything by other people. Don't get greedy. That's really what coveting is. Pay a tithe to the church. And that's because most of these rules came up with religion. So why did they come up with rules? Because they worked. People used them as they said, hey, stop beating each other up. Stop hurting other people. Now, the trick here is it's always our group. It's civilization within whatever civilization was self-contained. It wasn't the 8 billion people on the planet. And for most of the history of humans, it hasn't been billions of people. It's been much smaller groups. Most of the original groups, way back hunter-gathering, were probably hundreds of people. And some of them might have expanded up to thousands. Once we settled down and started building cities and doing agriculture and eventually urbanization, then we got into the thousands and tens of thousands, and then hundreds of thousands and millions. Where we are today, we have cities with millions of people. And those civilizations get a little wonky. They break down because not everybody follows the rules. We try to have these civilian rules, but they don't work as well. And why not? Because the core of civilization is belief. You have to believe something. And what's a belief? A belief is information that you hold in your head that you don't have any evidence for. You just accept that it's true. That's different from knowledge. Knowledge is information that can be verified externally. Knowledge is information that says, oh, wait, let me show you this. And you show it to somebody and they go, oh, that makes sense. Let's call that this thing. Let's give it a name. Let's describe it. Let's use our language and our ideas to understand how this works. And that's what we've been doing for thousands of years. We figured out that there was this frothy stuff that resulted from leaving grain in a jar for too long, and it eventually became beer. And we used to have gods of brewing that told us this is the ritual you need to do to make this marvelous elixir. And it must mean God loves us, because God gave us this beautiful thing that gives us a little buzz, makes life a little easier to deal with. But eventually we got rid of brewing gods. We don't have any brewing gods right now because we made brewmasters. Humans acquired the knowledge of how brewing works. And we did that for lots of different stuff. That's why we got rid of pantheons over the years. And that's why what emerged about 2,000 years ago, or prior to that, with Judaism and other religions. But the big ones were the monotheisms. We said, let's not worry about all these different gods. Because if our rules are based on the gods, and we have lots of different gods, then we could have lots of different rules. And some of the rules might be contradictory. If they're contradictory, that means people aren't doing the same thing. They're not following the same rules. That's going to create conflict. That's going to decrease the efficiency of a civilization. It's eventually going to lead to its downfall. Or at the very least, its mutation into something else. And that's why, eventually, we came up with these monotheisms. The monotheisms say, well, there's only one God. It's the one true God. And you have to believe in that one God. And then we can make rules that we can all accept. And that's worked. That worked for centuries. The Jews did it initially. The Christians came afterwards. The Muslims came afterwards. And they all branched off. So, once again, things evolve and change over time. And monotheism was a better idea than pantheism because it gave us unified rules that allowed us to build more efficient civilizations. But even those civilizations broke down over time. As a Western Christian, as a white guy living in America right now, I can look at it from my Christian perspective and go back about 500 years And when the Catholics split into all the Protestant sects, about 500 years ago, we had the Protestant Reformation. And that was the first chink in the armor of civilization in Western Europe. I mean, other civilizations were going on around the planet. We had lots of different things. We've been fighting the Muslims in the Middle East through the Crusades. And we were able to muster up huge armies. Because even though Muslims have one of the same rules about don't murder anybody, and don't steal anybody's stuff, and the Christians have those rules as commandments, it's only about the ones in your group. If you believe in a different God, then you're a heretic, you're an infidel. We should kill you. And that's where we've been for centuries, and we're still doing that crap. The Muslims have had the same issues. They've broken off into Shia and Sunni, just like Christians have broken off into Protestantism and Baptism and Calvinism and Episcopalianism and Methodists, all these things. No Methodists, that's right. You tell them, Mel. So we've got all these different religions, and society is fragmented. And we've got this global civilization. We've got a global economy. We distribute resources around the whole globe. If the other two components of a civilization are the government and the economy, you've got to have a belief system, got to have a government, got to have an economy. And so now we're trying to build this global civilization. But the big problem is we don't share a belief system. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to declare we should share a belief system. And everybody's primary belief system should be science. Should be the Church of Science. And all science says, you have to accept very few beliefs. It's the exact opposite of most religions, of most belief systems that we would classify as religions, where it says, there may or may not be a God, but I don't know and I don't care. Whatever your God might say is important for you, but guess what? If we're going to have a global civilization, if we're going to have a bigger civilization, we're going to accept that nobody knows what God is, that whoever God is, whatever God is right. Now, here's the real trick. If you start from the assumption that we're stupid, that we're ignorant, that we're mostly hairless apes trying to build a global civilization, and that we've developed a lot of really neat technology along the way that can kill each other really quickly, we should take care of that, and we should take the most conservative estimate. We should accept our ignorance about most things, and say, let's just use knowledge whenever we can. We've gained some knowledge. We know how to do certain things. We know how to make beer. We know how to build houses. We know how to make cars. We know how to extract energy from oil. And literally millions of other things. We've got lots of skills. And think about that. When you want something done, who do you talk to? You talk to the professionals. And if something goes wrong, we bring in the special investigators. You don't mess with the special investigators. You let them do their job. You let the people investigate, sort out the problem, use their expertise, use the knowledge that some of us have acquired in a specialized field, and let them solve that problem. What if we use that as the basis of our global civilization? What if we didn't vote for people in our democracy, but we voted for problems? We said, fix this problem. How are we going to fix that problem? Well, we're going to use the available resources. And we're going to tax people and say, hey, we want to fix this problem. This is the most important problem. That's what we should be voting on. We shouldn't be saying, oh, this person or that person, because that's a residue of all of those monarchies and all those cults of personality that we use from biology. We like those things from biology because we like people. We like people like us. We like people in our group who accept our beliefs, who think the way we do. That's because those are the easiest people to get along with. Those are the people that like the same stuff that we do, that work at the same things that we work at, that think eat the same types of food, because that's the easiest way to get along. But if you're a growing, evolving human, and if you're civilized, you appreciate that variety is the spice of life, that diversity is a good thing. Because that's what evolution teaches us. Evolution says, if you only have one option and something goes wrong, you're screwed. But if you have multiple options, maybe there's a way to get around a problem. Maybe this way won't work, but maybe that way will work. And that's the beauty of evolution. It teaches us that diversity is a good thing. And I don't have to partake of diversity now, but I should keep it around. I should have it around. So that's what we should be doing as a species. We should become the human superorganism that develops a global civilization. And the way we do that is we all embrace science as our belief system. When we embrace science as our belief system, where does that leave us? That leaves us at a point where we can say, all right, we don't have all the answers. So we should default to our ignorance and we should pick a problem. What's the problem? Well, how about we feed everybody on the planet? How about we stabilize the climate? How about we educate everybody into basic information? Not religious information. If you want to do religious information, you're on your own. Because, bottom line is, we want evidence. We want stuff that works. Guess what? We understand nutrition. We understand disease. We understand public sanitation. We've worked out science for all of these things. We know what it takes to have a Western civilization. What's come out, what's evolved from these Western European colonial empires that took over the planet. I mean, that's really what happened over the last 500 years. Colonialism was the civilization that said, oh, we're going to take our group and use our technology and use our religious belief system to justify taking over these other people. And we've slowly gotten away from that. We've slowly realized, wait a minute, no, we're all humans. We're all the same species. Oh, wait a minute. Everybody needs, we should be civil to each other. We should take care of each other. That's what some religions have had, but other ones have said, no, no. Hell with everybody else. I've got mine, and let them get theirs. And I'm not going to share. And that's really what it boils down to, though. And we only have one planet. We have to figure out how to share it. If we don't want to share, guess what? We need to find more planets. The only way to, I'm for that. I'm ready for space exploration. I think that would be great. We should start building other civilizations. We could have sub-civilizations, but we need a global civilization. And the global civilization should be based on science. It says, if you come to us and we want to solve a problem at the level of the global civilization, and the answer you bring is, well, my God said to do this, we should lead you over to the buffet table and say, here, why don't you have a snack? Maybe a juice box and a cheese stick, whatever it is. And when you have a real solution, something that's based on evidence, please come back and tell us about it. Because that's what we want to work with. That's what science tells us. We start out with ignorance. We assume we don't know. We ask questions. That's what science has been doing for thousands of years. It's been formalized for the last few centuries with the scientific method. Thank you, Francis Bacon. And we'll move forward from there. So for the last 400 years, we've had the scientific revolution. And let's finish the job. Let's use science to really transform society. All that science has done so far has given us tools to change things, but we're still stuck with these religious civilizations. The majority of people still believe in magic. They still believe there's some entity out there who can magically change the rules about the universe. And when you start with science, you say, I don't know if there's anybody who can change the rules, but I think there are rules. Because that's the thing about rules. To have a civilization, to have rules, there have to be constants. And that's what science teaches us. Science teaches us there are constants in the universe. Otherwise, life couldn't exist. There have to be some things. And if we do this thing called the scientific method, we can figure out what those constants are. And we can understand the laws of physics and chemistry and biology. And they tell us how life works. And one of those laws is evolution. Evolution says, if you have variables, and over time, different variables are more suited to different environments, life's going to change. How does it select? Well, natural selection just says it's random. That's what people didn't like. That's when Darwin threw out God 150 years ago. Said, well, maybe it's just chemistry and physics. You know, enzymes work because they have active sites where they bind substrates and they produce products. And those chemicals assemble into larger structures and they become autocatalytic replicators. That's a physics model of life. And it works. It explains life perfectly well. And that's what science does. It says, if we have an explanation that works, let's use it. Let's see how far we can go with it. Nobody's ever seen an electron, but Maxwell came up with laws of electromagnetism, and we can make electrons dance to do all sorts of things, including this podcast, along with all these other things that we make electrons do. And because we have rules, we understand the rules of how the universe works. And if we're going to use those rules and we want to build a civilization, what should we do? Well, let's build the one that everybody seems to like. Everybody seems to like the American rules, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So let's take those rules to a global level. Let's build the United States of Earth. Let's build a global civilization that says, we know we don't like bureaucracy. We want liberty, so we want as few rules as possible. So we want to make as few rules as possible. I have a model, which I'm not going to be able to get to on this podcast, but I think I could do a global government in four levels of bureaucracy. How about that? If you had a global government with four levels, I'd work in a state college with about 400 employees, and I have seven levels of administrators above me. And if you go all the way up to the state level, I have about 12 to do my job, to just teach anatomy, to teach science to people. And I've got layers upon layers of bureaucracy above me. And it's ridiculous. We don't need that many bureaucrats. Because in reality, the thing that we've missed about America, the thing we haven't fulfilled of a promise, is government of, by, and for the people. People like the idea of government for them, to give them stuff. But they don't want to do the of or the by. The of and the by of government are people paying attention. So that means, where are the responsible adults? Where are the citizens that are going to take advantage of things? I think it should be citizens of the Church of Science. I was wrong for a long time. I became an atheist years ago. And I thought, oh, you don't have to believe in anything. But that's where I was wrong. You got to believe in something. And I believe in science. I believe in logic and reason are the best tools that humans have come up with to run society. And religions just don't work anymore. Religions are a net negative social adaptation at this point in history. Because they cripple your brain. Religions cripple your brain. That's what I'm going with. How do they cripple your brain? Religions tell you that there's magic. That there's somebody out there, if you pray hard enough, thoughts and prayers get sent to the deity, and maybe God will fix it. Because I don't know what to do. I'm powerless. I'm just a weak little human. I can't do anything. And that is wrong. Because everybody can change the world. Everybody can change the world. We all change the world every day, a little bit. It may not amount to anything down the road, for most of us, but plenty of people go through any history book, and there's plenty of people who've changed the world in different ways. And we do it all the time. And that's the trick. That's the thing you have to suck up and face. Yeah, you might have a crappy life. You might have a great life. But how significant are you? That's what everybody should be going for. That should be the pursuit of happiness. Let's just make one thing. Let's take your thread in the tapestry of life and weave a better picture. Let's build a better civilization. And how do we do that? Well, we embrace the idea that we're ignorant, mostly hairless apes. But we have these tools that are called logic and reason and science. And science says, hey, we can figure stuff out. And when we have rules, we should talk to the experts. We should let the professionals handle the situation. All the discussions we have about education should be left to the education professionals. Education is a relatively young academic discipline. You know, what's the best way to teach? What's pedagogy? What's brain science got to do with it? Bring in the psychologists, bring in the educators, and let them work. And if you don't like what's being taught, well, F you. If you know something that's better, teach your own kids. Go ahead. But guess what? We're going to standardize tests. We're going to have screens for everybody to get jobs to say, here is your designation as a citizen. No more freebies. If you want to be a member of the global civilization of civilized people who believe in the Church of Science, you have to accept that logic and reason are real tools and that the scientific method is the best tool we have right now to sort stuff out. And if we don't have the information, we can experiment. That's great. Let's create experimental cities. Let's create experimental villages, experimental families. At the family level, there's still biology going on. We don't fully understand biology. We know evolution works. We know biochemistry works. We understand anatomy and physiology pretty well. But yeah, there's still unknowns. We don't know exactly what consciousness is. We can tell you when it's there. But we want conscious thinking individuals to participate in government. So those are the adults. And I'm going to call it, but an adult is not necessarily a citizen. Because just in biology, we call an adult anybody who can sexually reproduce. That means you hit puberty and you're an adult because you can reproduce. We have this horrible social problem with teen pregnancy. And religion tried to address that by making up all these rules about marriage. But what were they really getting at? They didn't understand biology. They just said, hey, we know something happens when a man puts his penis in a woman's vagina. Now you can make babies that way. And that's all we understood. And we tried to fix that with rules. But now we understand the biology. And we understand that the biology should be left up to the biological entities who are reproducing within a given genetic branch of the family tree. And that should be left up to the family. Science would say 21 weeks is the limit for technological support of a premature birth. Anything before 21 weeks should be up to the family. Who's ever taking responsibility for the 20 years of development that it takes to raise a human. And if you develop good humans, we'll respect you as a good family. If you fuck up, if you can't raise functional humans, ask for help. We'll try to help you if we can. That's what society should be about. That's what religions try to do. But the problem with religions, like I said before, is they only work on one group. They don't accept the whole species as all part of the same group. And that's where we need to get to. Man, woman, black, white, gay, straight, whatever the hell it is. We need to accept that we're all human. And because we're all human, we need to figure out how to run the planet better. Or some bad things are probably going to happen. So I don't want to talk about those. I want to talk about good things. So let's think about good things that we could do if we actually respected everybody and took care of each other and took care of the planet. If we turned it into a garden. And that's going to lead us down the road to the garden party. That's our political action committee. We're going to get there. And we'll talk about that next time.